Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas, folks. Merry Christmas. Seems like we were doing this a year ago. Just last few days, it seemed like. I want you to look up and look to Matthew chapter 1. Matt, oh, thank you, Elma. Thank you. Yep, I'm glad you did it. I would have been upset. Logan's going to come and light the candles, and Elwan's going to come and read a passage of Scripture.
Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Morning. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Something that the Holy Spirit put on the pastor's heart for us to read some passages out of what we Bible-believing Christians call the love chapter, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it'll be scriptures 4 through 8. Verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Verse 5, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Amen. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I love love. Verse 7, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Amen.
And verse 8, love never fails. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Elwin. Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. Glory. Now, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at this passage, verse 18. We're going to start verse 18. You there? Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for a season, as Pat shared, just a special season. Thank you for Mary. Thank you for Joseph. Thank you that they trusted you. Lord, let us trust you in a greater way. As this new year approaches, Lord, let us set out to give more time to you, pay more attention to you, allow ourselves to be moved by you. thank you for this message. Use it to touch our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Pour out. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. While I was researching this morning's message, I came across a story that I'd like to share with you. It concerns a young man. Now, when this young man was all of 23 years old, he had not the opportunity to take a summer tour of Europe as a graduation present from college. You might have guessed he was from a well-to-do family, and he was. He traveled throughout Europe by train, by boat, sometimes by bicycle. Finally, this young adventurer ended up on the beautiful beaches of France, where he was determined to spend the rest of his summer. His parents, who had paid for this trip, insisted that he stop by and visit some relatives who lived in Switzerland. However, this was the last place that he wanted to go. He wanted to stay at the beach. But his mother would not let up. She insisted that he visit the relatives in Switzerland, warning him to do the best to make a good impression. Reluctantly, the young man took the train to the Alps and arrived in the town of his relatives. Unfortunately, this young man had spent all his money. He was having fun at the beach. After his reckless spending, he only had $3 left in his pocket. It was imperative that he make a good impression. So if not, his mother would be livid, possibly insisted that he would return home before his summer fling was over. So as he walked through town, he peered into the different store windows, hoping to find something he could buy for $3 to make a good impression for his mother. But soon the young man realized it was hopeless. There was no way he could afford anything of value as a gift to his relatives. As he pondered his situation, a beautiful young woman caught his eye. She was working in a fine crystal shop. Immediately, the man entered the store, and even though he knew he could not afford anything in that store. Forgetting about his dire situation, he began to flirt with the young woman, making her laugh. The young man had so distracted this lady that she accidentally dropped a very expensive crystal bowl, breaking it into three pieces. The owner of the store began yelling at the young woman, who became so embarrassed that she fled to the back of the store crying. It was at that moment, that particular moment, this young man realized how he could resolve this hopeless situation he was in. He purchased the broken bowl for $3 and then asked the shop owner to wrap up the bowl. Upon his arrival at his relative's house, he faked a stumble as he entered through the doorway and dropped the gift-wrapped box to the ground. Everyone was taken back. He picked up the present, apologizing for his clumsiness, but all the while knowing his time on the beach would soon be extended. He gave the banged-up box to his aunt, who opened it to find a beautiful crystal bowl broken in three pieces, with each broken piece individually wrapped in white tissue paper. Now, I hope all of you got it. We can take a moment and you can think about that. It's a rather a comical story, but I want you to consider his gift. It was a gift of obligation. It was a gift of obligation. Certainly was not heartfelt. He didn't care about being there. He was only there to satisfy his parents' nagging talk. So to get the deed done, he wanted to do something and get back to the beach. Have you ever had to buy a gift out of obligation? I'm sure each one of us has. Maybe for a coworker or a neighbor. Maybe you bought a gift because somebody was buying a gift for you. Sometimes buying a gift of obligation is just a part of life. I believe we have to do things like that to be those responsible people that we want to be. But I think they're the hardest gift to buy. I believe they are. I have a hard time deciding on these gifts because they're not heartfelt. They're not heartfelt at all. I once worked with a man that every year he would place a call to a local florist on Christmas Eve, and he ordered two gift baskets, one for his teenage daughter and one for his wife. And it was a quick call. It lasted about 30 seconds, and the florist would always ask him what he wanted in the baskets, and he'd say, whatever it takes to spend $250. His Christmas shopping was done. It was all over. He'd go back doing what he wanted to do. Amen? Now, that kind of behavior just reminds us of this man in the story. It's just that type of not being heartfelt, the gifts that we give. They're just out of obligation. Amen? I think we can all recognize the commercialization of Christmas and a society, and we tend to get caught up in the obligations of Christmas. That's what we do. So much so that we look past the meanings of Christmas. We look past what Christmas is all about. The true gift given at Christmas reflects our love for someone. That's what we should be giving, our love for someone. It's never obligatory, never. We love, so we give. Amen? We love, so we give. Another little story. There was a school district that had banned using the name of Christ in any of their Christmas programs. They began calling the holiday programs things like a winter festival. However, they were still allowed to use the word Christmas. So one music teacher, Angela, decided to make a presentation, and she wanted to include the words Christmas love. Christmas love. Now, each of the 13 letters were drawn out on cardboard, decorated, and then 13 children would each hold up a letter during their program spelling out Christmas love. They practiced and practiced their parts. They had them down. When it was time for the program, the kids held up their respective letter. However, it didn't say Christmas love. All because this little guy that was holding the seventh letter had his letter upside down, and it said, Christ was love. Christ was love. Today we celebrate the birth of a little child born over 2,000 years ago in an obscure corner of the ancient world, born to parents of little consequence into a nation of little significance. And then this child was ignored in an obscurity for years. But on this day and in this place, you and I, halfway across the world, culturally removed, and thousands of years later, celebrate the birth of this special child, Jesus. Jesus. These little children in that Christmas program got it right. Amen. Christ was love. Now, Mary and Joseph named their baby boy Jesus, just as Mary had been instructed by the angel, and Joseph was instructed by the angel. Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means God saves. The scripture also refers to Jesus as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Now, folks, from the time of the birth, there were some who realized that there was more to this Jesus than they expected, more than meets the eye. And I think we need to take note that Jesus is not known as among us, but with us. Amen? With us. Jesus is not out there somewhere else. Not at all. He's not over there or over here. He is with us right here and right now. Amen? Right here and right now. A few minutes ago, we read from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, Matthew gives a very brief description of the Christmas story. He had no angels singing in it. He didn't have any shepherds visiting. He gets right to the point. So what's the point? What does he talk about? Well, Matthew disclosed the potential reality of separation between Jesus' mother and Joseph, her fiancé. And then he tells how they resolved the issue with God's help, agreeing to keep their commitment to each other. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was born into this, it wasn't born into this perfect little family made up of perfect little people with perfect little lives. Jesus wasn't born into this perfect little family made up of perfect little people with perfect little lives. He was born into a family with real problems. Real problems. But God saw to it. God works with them. God wanted them to be the parents of Jesus. And he worked with them about his beloved son. And their disagreement, the walking through difficulties, God helped. And they made it. They made it. The commitment was strong, okay? And that tells me that God's with my family. God's with your family. Amen? He's going to help us, and I believe we can gain comfort from that. Do we have struggles? Yes, we have struggles. But God will help us walk through those struggles to be the very best that we can be. Amen? Amen? Now, I want to share some interesting facts about Christmas with you. Did you know that Christmas was not celebrated during the first 2 centuries after Jesus' death? In AD 245, when a group of scholars attempted to pinpoint the exact date of Christ's birth, a church council denounced the endeavor, declaring it wrong to celebrate the birthday of Christ as though he were King Pharaoh. It's wrong. Yet in spite of the official disapproval, numerous attempts were made by various groups to pinpoint or determine the date of the Nativity. Unfortunately, this only resulted in more confusion over the date. Among the dates considered were January 1st, January 6th, March 25th, and May 20th. But by the middle of the 4th century, December 25th was pronounced to be the appropriate time for the birthday of Christ. Then Pope Julius in AD 349 named December 25th as the day for celebrating Christmas. Now, December 25th was also a widely celebrated day in the Roman world. On that date, citizens observed the Natalis Solis Invicti, which is the birthday of the unconquerable sun in honor of the sun god Mithras. Mithras. Many modern Christian customs such as decorating a house with greenery, exchanging gifts, enjoying festive meals, all originated with this pagan celebration. Scholars believe that Pope Julius selected December 25th as the date of the Nativity to give Christians an opportunity to honor Jesus, honor Christ on this official birthday, but also to win some of the followers of Mithras to Christianity. However, that's just conjecture. They don't know that for sure. In 17th century England, the Puritans objected to the Christian celebrations because they had no clear biblical meaning, no biblical basis. And as a result, in 1643, the Parliament outlawed Christmas, Easter, and any other Christian holiday. Amen? But people like to party. People like to celebrate. So they decided by 1660 that there would be a Christmas. The citizens reclaimed it, and things moved forward. Amen? However, their neglect of religious aspects from that point, resulted in a growing secularization of the holiday that we still experience today. The Christmas tree tradition was started in Germany in the late 15th century. At that time, a popular play depicted the expulsion of Adam and Eve from Eden by using a fir tree with apples hanging on it. Somehow, that went from Adam and Eve getting thrown out of the garden to a symbol for the Christmas celebration. So Christians began placing trees in their home, also as a symbol of sin and getting rid of sin. They interpreted it as a time that they could look and they could see the coming Savior, Jesus, who had come to save us all from our sin. That tree represented the sin. Jesus came to clean us and save us from our sin. All right? So we can figure the apples on the tree representing the original sin of Adam and Eve. But the apples at some point disappeared. They disappeared, and they were replaced with small white wafers to represent communion. And this was a remembrance of Jesus saving the world. And then at some time, these white wafers were replaced by small pieces of pastry cut into shapes of stars and angels, hearts, flowers, bells. Amen? That's your Christmas tree. You want to know something else interesting? Don't answer. The word Xmas, as an abbreviation for Christmas, originated with the Greek Christians. X is the first letter of the Greek word for Christ. It's Christos, and it's pronounced Christos. Later Christians, unfamiliar with the Greek origin of Xmas, mistook the X as a sign of disrespect. They attempted to do away with that, but they missed the central meaning of it. Amen? And as we know today, most Christians disapprove of this abbreviation, even though the actual word Xmas is quite Christian in its origin. So it seems that our commercialization of Christmas might not be so recent at all. Been going on for a lot of years. I mean, everyone has a tree in their house, right? Representing our need to be saved from the sin that destroys our lives. We're also told that the tree points us toward the manger of Christmas and to the cross of Easter. Finally, Even Santa Claus has a Christian origin. Seems that St. Nicholas was more than a children's Christmas legend. He was flesh and blood, a prisoner of Christ, bishop of the Mediterranean city of Myra. St. Nicholas was born to wealthy parents in the city of Patara about 270 AD. He was still young when his mother and father passed away. They left him a fortune, however, a very rich young man. As a teenager, Nicholas, he had a sensitivity to the needs of others. Everybody could see it. He had heard about a family that was destitute and starving. The father had no money for food, much less a dowry needed to marry off his three daughters. He was ready to send his oldest girl out into the streets to become a prostitute. So under the cover of the night, on the 24th of December, Nicholas threw a bag of gold coins through the window of this family's humble dwelling. In the morning, the father discovered the gold. Hallelujah! How he rejoiced. Amen. His family was saved. His oldest daughter's honor was preserved with the dowry for her marriage, and everything was great. Sometime after that, Nicholas secretly provided a dowry for his second daughter, and still later for the third, at night on the same date, he threw some bag of gold in again for the third daughter. Amen. And as soon as that bag of gold thudded on the floor, the father was waiting to see who did this, and he chased after the boy until he caught him. Nicholas was mortified to be discovered in this act of charity. So he made the father promise not to tell anyone who had helped his family. He didn't want that word to get out. Then Nicholas forsook all his wealth to answer a call into the ministry. He left being a rich man to go into the ministry. And when the area bishop died, the bishops and ministers from that surrounding area met together, and they chose Nicholas to be the successor. Amen. He became a bishop. Even though Nicholas was a very humble man who referred to himself as Nicholas the Sinner, he was chosen as the new bishop and consequently led his congregation through the worst tribulation in all time in history. In AD 303, the Roman emperor ordered a brutal persecution of all Christians. Those who were suspected of following Jesus were instructed to sacrifice to pagan gods. Nicholas and thousands of others refused. Consequently, pastors, bishops, church members, they were all dragged to prison. Savage tortures were unleashed on the Christians all over the empire. Believers were even fed to wild animals. Though many died during this time, a few survived, and Nicholas was one of those. Finally, after years of imprisonment, the iron doors opened up, and Bishop Nicholas, along with many other Christians, walked out, freed by a decree from the new emperor, Constantine. As he entered his city once more, the people flocked about him. They shouted, "Nicholas, Saint Nicholas has come home." Nicholas participated in the famous Council of Nicaea. This was an ecumenical council of the Christian church, the very first one. It was organized by Constantine. And in that council, it was decided, listen to how important this is, it was decided that Jesus was divine. He was God. That's never been a question in my life. But they had so much indecisiveness in the church, in the Christian body, that they had to sit down, the leaders of the church, and they decided to say Jesus was divine. Mm. On December 6th, about A.D. 343, he passed away. Beloved by a city, he passed away. Now, St. Nicholas of Yuletide fame still carries faint reminders of this ancient man. The color of his outfit corresponds to the red of the bishop's robe. And this one got me. Making a list, checking it twice, comes from the old saint's lectures to the children about good behavior. Gifts secretly brought on Christmas Eve remind us of his humble generosity to this family with three daughters. St. Nicholas. So much of what we do at Christmas, even the traditions of which the world knows nothing about their origins, they always take us back to one person, Jesus. Jesus. Do you recall the young man I spoke of at the beginning of the message, the one who gave a gift out of obligation, which ended with disastrous results? Well, the real gift of Christmas, folks, Jesus was not given under any obligation by the Father God. None at all. The gift of our Savior was simply a gift of love. A gift of love given to all men who would receive. How unfortunate that such a perfect gift, such a loving gift, would be rejected and even condemned by so many. The scriptures tell us, actually throughout the scriptures, tells us that the Son of God, Jesus, resided in heaven with all his glory and splendor. Jesus was there long before his appearance on earth. Long before he came as an infant, born on that beautiful Christmas morning so many years ago. There is no doubt that Jesus Christ was God then, and no doubt that he is God now. He is the second person of the Godhead, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the second person of the Godhead. And he's eternal, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing and all-present. John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." As Christians, we see Jesus as much more than a holy infant or a good man, or even a perfect example of love. He is, in fact, the creator of all, the one who gave up on the extravagance of heaven, amen, and came to earth as a human, and then, in the providence of time, sacrificed himself. Jesus' sacrifice of love made it possible for you and me to be free, free from all our sin, sin that entangles us, sin that damages us, sin that destroys us, sin that causes us pain and grief. Hallelujah. What a gift of love. What a gift of love. And it was given with no obligation. No obligation. Elwan read at the Advent candle lighting, he read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the chapter we usually read at weddings. That's where we know this thing. Most of us are familiar with chapter 13. It's known as the love chapter, like he said. We know that to be. But it's also a description of the character of Jesus. Amen? It's also a description of the character of Jesus. And my favorite part is verse 7 and the first words of verse 8. And it said, it, which is love, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. Jesus Christ is love. And his love will never fail. Never fail. The love of Jesus is not theoretical or hypothetical or metaphorical. The love of Jesus is tangible, and it's here for us today, tomorrow at Christmas, and every day. Every day. It's easy for us folks in this American culture to get caught up trying to get into what we call the Christmas spirit. Some of us, that means decorating. Especially if you can put up a favorite ornament or put the lights on just right on your house. For some of us, it means baking. The smell of gingerbread is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. The taste of your favorite cookie may get you in the spirit. Even for more people, it's not Christmas until they've sung a particular carol. Right? Maybe they needed to watch a Charlie Brown Christmas. For the last two nights, I've been driving my wife around looking at Christmas lights. Amen. That's what gets her in that spirit. But as you know, it doesn't matter what we do. The feeling we're trying to obtain or what atmosphere we're trying to create, it quickly passes, doesn't it? It's quickly gone. Why is that? Because the Christmas spirit is not an event. It's not an emotion. It's not a seasonal gesture. No, the true Christmas spirit is found in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who personifies love, the one whose love never fails, the love that we can experience at all times, in all situations, under any conditions. The love of Jesus. Today on this hallowed eve, let us celebrate together. Let us celebrate the eternal gift of Christmas, the priceless gift of God's unfailing, unmatched love. Amen? It's unfailing, unmatched love. Let us celebrate the pure gift of love found only in the person of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for you and your family this morning is that God's love becomes so real during this Christmas season. So real. So may the love of our Lord Jesus, a love that never fails, may it be with you and yours as you celebrate the coming of Christmas. May you be overwhelmingly blessed as you receive more than anything else the tender love of your Savior. Hallelujah. The tender love of your Savior. We'll all receive presents, and they're great. They're wonderful. But that's just part of Christmas. And I hope most of those gifts you get are given to you by somebody that loves you. And it's not a gift of obligation. It might be pink slippers for you guys. As you leave this morning, I want you to remember to share that extraordinary love of Jesus. It's in you by the Holy Spirit. It's in you, folks. God has placed it in you for many, many reasons. Loving your family, loving your friends, that's just one. And I think Christmas has a lot to do with that. Loving your family, loving your friends. Amen. So I want us together as a final greeting just to shout, Merry Christmas, everyone. Amen. Can we do that? Stand up. Come on. I want you to use all your lungs. All right? Just...